Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10-2 on 670. The
My God, yeah, PCA was a one-man wrecking crew when it came to creating havoc on the base path.
PCA is going to try to score. The throw is off the glove of Holmes. Speed kills. PCA doing PCA things, and the Cubs make it 8-2.
Let's hear from Pete Crow Armstrong.
I was able to just kind of scan the field like our boy Caleb does.
Let's go!
Well, 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 look who just got himself another bear. But that's an automatic five for him.
Five on it.
Okay, five bears for PCA.
Yeah, okay. Five bears.
See, I think
that.
We jumped the shark on this with the five for PCA. Sounds like a bit much at this stage.
Wow, how dare you?
All right, open your boxes.
Bears. Bears. Yeah, and he said something about the Bears, and he said something about Caleb. So that's five for you, PCA.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles. We're not outside anymore. We're back inside. We don't have our pumpkins. We don't have our corn husks.
Yo, that setup was so nice.
We're at our normal shift. Our vacation is over.
Wow. A one-day vacation.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And not only that, but we're not talking about a Cubs team that is one game closer to clinching home playoffs. Cubs! WID, what are you doing? Breaking news when we have it on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we come to you in our normal slot today, which is 10-2. But it's not even that, because we've got to get you ready for Cubs baseball. Cubs and Cardinals, no better opportunity than beautiful weather here today to face your rival and get the job done. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can text us, you can call us, 312-644-6767. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our producers are Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And Jacob is an Illini. So Godspeed and good luck with homecoming, man, because the Illini have USC for their homecoming. Ooh. Welcome to the new world, Big Ten. Just know I'm thinking about you after that loss to the Indiana team last week.
Did you see the stat, though? The fact that they had to play like the latest time slot last week, and now they got to play in the earliest time slot this week, USC?
And you know what I say to that? Cool. Take it up with your AD who decided to be in this conference.
Uh-huh. Ooh. They needed money, and plus their conference was dissolving.
I get it, though, because, you know, it reminded me of Joe Madden, guys, when Joe would be like, Joe would talk about the schedule. Like, if there was an issue, he'd be like, well, you know, we play a lot of day games and night games. And truth be told, it does affect you. I just don't necessarily know if it's as much as we may perceive. You were there, Mark. You remember when Joe would do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Joe, man. Joe had all sorts of tricks up his sleeve, though, when it came to stuff like that, and the way he would rest his team, and the American Legion days, where he'd allow people, not all the players would participate in it, but he would allow them just to show up at the ballpark
and
hit. Show and go. It was funny. One time it was brought up to Joe Madden, why don't you take a day off? Why don't you do that? And he was like, oh, I don't think so. It's ironic that he wouldn't take his own advice.
That's a good little twist there.
That's a plot twist
to be like, oh, well, why? If you're okay with it, why don't you do it?
Like, and I believe it was Paul Sullivan who asked. It was such a good question, and Joe did not have a good, kind of turned red. Like, what? Hey, why don't you follow your own? Take a day off. Show up a little bit later, Joe. And he wouldn't do it.
God, Sully's good.
Yeah.
That is such a Paul Sullivan move.
Oh, yeah. You've been there long enough.
Also, guys, I got fooled by the Mark Potash Bears Historian April Fool's gig that he played, the joke.
Which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So then Potsy said he was back with the Sun-Times, and I didn't say anything because I was like, this is April Fool's, and you just did it to me 6 months later, Potsy. Am I being fooled by this?
Don't get fooled again.
So I believe congratulations is in order for Potsy.
I am just hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, I didn't know this.
I did not know that Mark Potash is working again for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I mean, Jason Leisure posted it, but those guys fool me. So fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, more shame on me, I feel like.
Nah, I can't get fooled again.
So is he doing Bears coverage?
I know we've deviated off the mark here, but I do like giving people some shout-outs. But back to the show and go thing. You know who didn't show and go? Shota Imanaga.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the issue. As we said in our pre-show meeting, you're running out of people to put in your starting rotation for a playoff series. I can't even think about where it's going to be right now. You haven't afforded me that luxury yet. We're still trying to figure out what's going on with, I believe, the guy who earned being the ace. He deserved that nod this year after his performance last year. Justin Steele, his biggest challenger, as we know, is out for the season. And there was no better feeling I had watching Shota face enough the Padres. You remember that? Like, Marshall and I were at Sluggers watching that man just mow him down. But this is the danger when you throw with the profile that Shota Imanaga has. When you live high, the high fastball that isn't just absolute straight gas, when it's in the low 90s, when you rely on that to build off of everything else and you're relying off that deception, this is a long season, and unfortunately, we have seen it take a toll on him. His ERA prior to last night in the first inning had ballooned to 6.75. 6.75. You knew that that was a bugaboo for him in a way that was dangerous, and we asked ourselves the question, guys, yesterday when we did the show from Old Crow. What was going to be the over-under on home runs that were given up because he's in the top three in the big leagues? And this is dangerous. And even though this is a Mets team that is still trying to figure out its playoff fate, that lineup was certainly not built for anything but making it. This is the closest test you have to figuring out what next week is going to feel like. And unfortunately, I don't think he passed.
No, Shota Imanaga should not be in the playoff rotation in a three-game series. He should not. It's quite simple. It's easily put. This is a man who has now given up home runs. He was a fly ball pitcher now turned into a big fly pitcher. Let's be very blunt about what this is. No one's given up more home runs since him in the All-Star break. That's nine straight games he's given up at least one run. Earlier we were being cute about it. It's like, oh, you know, he gives up the occasional home run, a little solo shot. That's not a lot of damage. But then when you see his ERA north of six in the month of September, when you see the fact that the Cubs are relying on this guy who has now been a starter in his last 10 games in which the Cubs have lost seven times, he doesn't give you this illusion that he could possibly throw zeros. And when you get to the playoffs, when you're talking about your top starters, especially you're just, you know, your ace, your number two, your number three, you're talking about guys who on any given day could go out and throw zeros. Shota Imanaga is not showing you a guy right now who has the ability, one, to keep the ball in the park, two, to throw zeros.
And those were not solos. Those were not all solos last night.
They were not solo dolos?
No.
Didn't you tell me they were going to be solos?
Well, yeah, well, it started that way. You know, Lindor was a solo show, you know, Francisco, he likes his solo shows, but the Brett Beatty that turned out to be a three-run homer, that made the game 6-0 at the time. And I'll even make the argument that the real killer was one Tyrone Taylor getting that two-out, two-run double that made it 8-2 at the time and ended up chasing Shota Imanaga from the game. Good on the Cubs to kind of put the foot on the gas pedal in the offense and try to make a game of it on a couple of occasions. And to the point about Shota pitching up, which he does, he was way up yesterday. He was missing badly yesterday, and I don't know if that's if that's his adjustment to not give up the home runs. Let me just try to throw ridiculously high, which most of the guys were not fishing for. Occasionally they were, but he was just off with his pitches last night, period, and specifically high.
Well, and that's the issue. That's the dangerous line you walk when you decide to be able to have somebody like this on your pitching staff. And you want to try to diversify the portfolio a bit by having people with different skill sets. There's nothing wrong with having him, and he had been rocking and rolling. But unfortunately, you know, as we've seen with like PCA, for example, the league is going to catch up to you. So then it's just a matter of what are you doing to make this right? If you're a pitcher, that means that you have to be incredibly accurate. You know, we talk about a paint the corners guy who's in the low 90s. Kyle Hendricks comes to mind with the profile. You got to be the same way if you're living up high. You know, I remember the entire 2010s decade where if you fastball high was considered like lava, that wasn't something you did. You know, it was dangerous and crazy. And now we've just decided it's cool again because of tunneling and how you adjust to it. But we saw the danger here. You know, it's not even necessarily the individual Shota Imanaga. It's the blind resume of this is what happens to pitchers who throw like this.
Yeah, the Mets do hit hard, though. I mean, let's have that in there as part of the story. This is a very I think it's the most powerful, like in terms of home runs, the most powerful Mets team ever, I think, is possible. At least top five.
This team was supposed to be a, like, lock it down, guaranteed
Look
playoff
at the payroll.
Team.
Yes.
No, I'm with you guys, especially because they spent $1 billion in the offseason.
Yes,
is that a lot?
It's not a little. I mean, Juan Soto, people are complaining about him having a down season, but he's out here with 42 home runs and 36 stolen bases and an OPS over 900, but it's a down year for him.
Guys, I beg to be talking about a guy who's down year.
Seriously.
I don't care about how much money they paid him.
It's hard.
I beg for that life to happen. I used to dream of times like this.
The reality of the situation is if you're the Cubs, they needed to win last night. Do I still think they're going to be fine in hosting a playoff series next week? Yes, I do. But that's not the point. The point is when you do host that playoff series at Wrigley Field, who's going to be on the mound for you? And I'm trying to tell you, Shota Imanaga should not be one of those three pitchers.
It's just such a dangerous game we're playing.
Dangerous game you're playing, Mr. Bond.
It is, though. Yes. We're like, oh, okay. Remember how we felt about Cade Horton? It's like, Cade Horton, okay, cool, you can't be in the playoff rotation. And then we're like, yeah, you're probably pitching game three. And then we're like, yeah, you're probably pitching the first game. And then we're like, oh, God, who's left?
Right. Well, that's just it. Who is left? I mean, you can't not put these guys out there, Marshall. I mean, like.
Oh, you're asking who would pitch if he doesn't pitch?
Yeah.
Okay, it's very simple. If Cade Horton is good to go, which we'll find out probably later today or at worst tomorrow, then it's Cade Horton in game one, it's Matthew Boyd in game two, and it's Jameson Taillon in game three.
Jameson Taillon has been great since he came back from his injury.
Last couple starts specifically.
And there's a positive cautionary tale here. That guy did give up quite a few home runs, and he knows how to make the adjustments to try to figure it out. Like, he really does.
It's like Shota stole his first half and let that become his second half. Because Jameson was giving up all the home runs in the first half of the season.
Do you think there was a Freaky Friday situation going on, guys?
Ooh.
Did you know there's like another Freaky Friday movie coming out?
Yeah, it's our show.
Well,
Raheem Harrison Guardian, that's fair. On 670
That
Score.
Was the pre-show meeting.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, speaking of all that, this segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. That's what we get being exposed as a team to all that afternoon fun and the fall foliage and sleeping in.
Then
just finishing your show and then just watching the game. We don't have the split shift life.
Yeah. Hey, when we do the segment that I wanted to do, I'll share.
Yeah, that I think that's fair as well.
Yeah, I'll share just so we can all be friends again.
I do want people to be encouraged about one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. Because it's hard to say you're encouraged about anything about the Cubs after watching what happened last night, right? Here's the thing I want you to be encouraged about.
Oh, Marshall.
Since the All-Star break, we know the Cubs offense has fallen off, right? It has not been as good. They've only scored in 63 games. 5-plus runs 21 times. That's a third of the time that they score 5 runs.
Oof.
In those games, they are 18-3. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, well, yeah, but they don't do it often enough. The biggest thing to come out of that Mets series is against good pitching from the Mets.
Uh-huh.
They scored 5-plus runs in all 3 of those games. One.
Including in one inning.
And remember when I just said 18-3 since the All-Star break?
Yeah.
2 of the 3 losses have come in those Mets games. The last 3 days.
Wow.
So the offense at least looks like it's trending in the right direction as they head to the postseason. That is the most important thing from a positive standpoint.
I agree with that. I think like we said, the game before where they responded and they were able to hit and hit at will and keep hitting. And lest we forget, game one, they were up 6-1.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
And if we sound a little bit harder on the starting pitcher of record yesterday and Shota Imanaga, that it's because this is what happens when the playoffs are now not only your goal, but the expectation should be to win in them. Like, this is what leveling up feels like, and I feel like we have to remind people about that again.
I'm so glad you said that, because it like that's where the Cubs... This is not like some revelation of a team. The Cubs were expected to get to the playoffs the last couple of years, so now that you're in, you must win. 2020, they didn't. 2018, they didn't. So, like, it's time to get not just back to the playoffs. There's a new way of looking at the Cubs, and that is to win playoff games, period, and that started in 15.
So that's what we think, Raheemy, Harrison, Grody. I think it's valid to listen to what former athletes think. Cliff Floyd had a lot to say about this on the Markey postgame show. We love Cliff. Ron Coomer had a lot to say about this as well. So let's listen to them talking about it from their standpoint with two guys who know what the postseason feels like. So let's do that next. This is Raheemy, Harrison, Grody on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy, Harrison, Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's a high drive to deep left field. This is trouble. All the way back and long gone. Francisco Lindor with his 30th of the year. Here's the 0-1. Lifted to the left. Pretty well hit. Deep. That goes half to the left field fence. That is gone for a three-run homer. And the Mets have opened up a 6-0 lead.
Well, when you put it that way, Pat Hughes, it sounds good when you say it, but it still just doesn't feel any better after the Cubs lost 8-5. To the Mets yesterday, and what is still a crucial series for the Cubs in a stretch of games that now extends into the Cardinals series, because the magic number for them to clinch home field for the playoffs still sits at 2. This is Raheemy, Harrison, Grody on 670 The Score, and unfortunately we have to talk about what happened with Shota Imanaga, which we continue to do. The former ace of the Cubs, and I feel like unfortunately that is the case, going 5 2/3 last night, giving up 8 earned runs, building a snowman, giving up a walk as well, and had 3 strikeouts. But unfortunately for the Cubs, I think his the confidence in him starting a playoff series right now, or starting in a playoff series, maybe not even game one, is in doubt. Let's listen to some of what the experts have to say, the former major leaguers. We'll start with our guy, Ron Coomer, from Mully and Haw this morning, talking about if Imanaga's struggles will impact that playoff rotation.
He is having some issues right now, and I think there's a key word that you just said, Mike. I think the word trust. I feel like the word trust for him personally, trusting his stuff. I saw a guy last night getting away from his normal plan a little bit and trying to figure out what that little variation is going to be to get him off, get the Mets off some of his pitches. You have not seen Shota pitch in the playoffs. I think he has done very well in big games. I really do. I think he's a guy that I think gets excited and gets the adrenaline rush of pitching big in big situations. I would give him the ball still. I would. And I would let him figure it out, and I would have a plan B, warming up if things get start going south quick, and that would be Taillon. And that flips their lineup around to you know, left to right, and now all of a sudden, you know, San Diego has their struggles. Well, not major struggles, but some struggles against left-handed pitching. They've got some real boppers right-handed, we know that, but you know, the other guys have had their struggles, so they're, I think they're a game over 500 against lefties, and you know, their power numbers aren't quite the same against left-handed pitching as opposed to right-handed pitching. Take that for what it's worth.
I do think we have to take it into consideration. That's a more measured take of looking at it.
You're saying taking into consideration how much better they are against the right-handed pitching versus left-handed pitching. Here's why I don't even care about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen Shota Imanaga pitch the last however many starts you want to go back. He has been bad. And there's a difference between, okay, effective left-handed starters, the Chris Sales of the world, and what you just saw yesterday and what you've been seeing every fifth turn for a long time now from Shota Imanaga. He is not in a position right now where he has necessarily confidence in his stuff. You can tell by the way he's trying to, as Coon pointed out, trying to kind of figure it out. Guess what, guys? It's about to be October. The time to figure things out has long since passed.
The only problem is that every one of these guys now, including Matthew Boyd, has had a really bad stretch. Like, clearly Boyd is going through it. Shota Imanaga is going through it. I asked for just one, giving up one home run last night, and I didn't get it. I got two, including a three-run homer, so he's going through terrible times. Jameson Taillon has gone through terrible times this year. Colin Ray is your fifth starter. Cade Horton is obviously whatever he is with the rib injury, however he may or may not be able to pitch.
It does sound like his ribs are the issue.
That seems like it is. So we might be on it that it's going to be a pain tolerance issue. But my point is, at what point do you just say, like, okay, it's the playoffs. Shota Imanaga, his body of work is good with the Chicago Cubs. He has pitched in big games for sure. So at some point in time, you just got to be like, these are our guys. There's not a whole lot of changes that you make going into the postseason. Like, are you just saying that Shota Imanaga is cooked? He's through and he's never going to snap out of it.
What are the big games, one, and two? What do you mean he's been bad for a half a season?
Okay, so then,
I mean, that is the hard part. Without playoff games, you're like, well,
so
I mean, home
Matt
opener,
hey,
home opener was good.
Who
you
are you
know.
Pitching? Who are you going to pitch? Like with your logic, Matt Boyd should not pitch in the playoffs. Shota Imanaga should not pitch in the playoffs. So just because Jameis Taillon has had a few good starts now, we're good on Jameis Taillon?
Well, Jameis Taillon has more of a track record because he's a veteran pitcher. Also, to your point about Matthew Boyd, I did see him go up against this Mets team and only give up just the one home run. That's the only runs he was accounted for. I think they're in a piggyback situation. Well, as long as they don't run out of guys who can piggyback, where you might have a guy like Matthew Boyd and then, I don't know, Javier Assad or someone like that.
I'm okay with that. Like, that
Aaron
makes sense
Civale,
to me.
Aaron Civale, once again.
Aaron Civale.
You know he can go three innings in a game in relief.
Throw him out there.
Michael Soroka.
I'm all for that. Backup plan, yes, but the idea of not putting them out there, I don't like that.
I want to ask you about this, though, because we might be being too hard on him in a way because of how the game was managed last night. Like, let's rewind. When there was a meeting, you know, we saw Drew Pomeranz warming up in the sixth inning. We knew he was going to come into the game, which he did. And we saw a mound meeting. And at that point, there were two on for Tyrone Taylor. Craig Counsell and crew decide to leave him in the game. And then he gives up the double that scored Brandon Nimmo and Brett Beatty.
That was a killer.
And what did I say when that happened?
And that's two earned runs that are extra. You know, six is bad. Eight is worse. But I do wonder how much that factors into how we're talking about this. He's not without some responsibility here, Craig Counsell, and how that was managed.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Layla. I was sitting across from you at that moment.
Yeah.
I said, they've got to pull him out now. Pomeranz is ready. Go get him. Because a 6-2 game and an 8-2 games are two very different things.
Right? It could have been 6-5 at one point in time in the game.
Exactly. I just want to ask everybody listening right now, like, would you feel any different? Would it feel any better? You know, and these are the details. This is what it comes down to. That was a crucial spot, and I think he wanted to trust his pitcher there, And unfortunately, the numbers and the result did not bear out.
And maybe that could be the final straw, if you will, for Craig Counsell making these tough decisions of who's going to do what.
The final straw is in Shota.
Like, yeah. Okay, can you get out of this at least?
Yeah. And he like, could like not. He was kind of doing a little experimenting.
Because,
yeah.
Because I'll be very honest. Ray can attest to this. Layla, they were sitting right there with me. I said, once it was 6-0, I was like, yeah, he's done. He can't.
But the other part of this, too, is the Mets started the game letting you know how they were going to hit last night. Like, those were hard hit balls out of the gate. So, you know, and given the first inning struggles, that was also an issue. So I just want to throw those out there as things to think about when we were talking about this.
I'm glad you brought up Craig Counsell, and because it's his game now, man. It's a manager's game once you get into the postseason with lower scoring games, not as much offense. It's all about who. I mean, we're not even talking about the bullpen yet and how he's going to use that. Like, is Daniel Palencia back? Because even though we know he was out because he was injured, part of that, too, was kind of he needed a little bit of a reset. Like, the players, and even in the game that he pitched the other day, they were catching up with his 101. Like, and I know you meant Pete Alonso. He's a great player, but he gets up there and just strokes it to center field like 101 was nothing. And that's what we were seeing before. So I want to know if he's good to go. Who's the first? Like, who is he your closer? Is it Kittredge? What part does Brad Keller play? That's the stuff that I get excited about, and that's the stuff that Craig Counsell literally has to manage, and it's going to be fascinating to see how he does.
Well, and I think you're right about Palencia, because it's one thing to throw 100. It's another thing when hitters are used to it.
Yeah.
Like that's the other piece of this. But guess what? Welcome to the playoffs. Welcome to the playoffs where we're talking about facing hitters like Pete Alonso and Juan Soto and
Fernando
guys
Tatis.
Who have that profile. Yeah, I know that the team itself might not actually be a lock, but when it comes to the talent, that's a pretty good indication of how you might perform.
On the text line, okay, 630. Soto not starting in a 3-game playoff series is the dumbest thing I've heard today. You know what's dumb? Throwing a guy who can't get out. He's supposed to be an out-getter, right? Throwing a guy out there who can't get outs without giving up home runs in a playoff series, a short series. Look, if you want to put Shota as your number four in a a best of seven series, I understand that. But in a 3-game series with what Shota Imanaga has shown you over the last, I don't know, 6 weeks? Oh, no. No. It's a no for me, dog.
I like this question from the text line, 847. What about the White Sox? Well, I don't think that they can start any of the games for you for the Cubs in the playoffs.
What about thanks?
I mean, I do laugh. There are different discussions. I think we'll get to the White Sox next week when it comes to wrapping up the season. Losing 100 3 years in a row is not as bad as you think. It's just a matter of how you can't use it to your advantage in the draft like you used to be able to.
Oh, it's as bad as you think.
That's I've lived
it.
I've lived that life. Have you got? You have not. I've lived that life.
Oh, man.
Before we run out of time, I also just want to listen to what Cliff Floyd had to say yesterday, because Cliff has been really good on Marquee, especially talking about his experience not only celebrating the playoffs, but being in them. So let's hear what Cliff had to say about his thoughts on Shota.
When you look at what's going to happen in the next few days, I don't know if Shota gets a start in the postseason.
Wow.
I would say this. You have to really look at how you can go about putting him out there in a situation where he's not feeling good. The confidence of the ball off the fingertips does not look good. When you look at his body language, he's always showing his emotions. He's always wearing his emotions on his sleeve. But I think the most important thing is you can't worry about if you leave a guy who's gotten you here off the roster. You have to go about feel. You have to go about what a guy is doing with the hot hand and put the team in a position to win these crucial ball games, because you don't get the 5-game series. You get a 3-game series, and wherever it may be, you have to have the best out there giving you a chance.
I think the last thing that he said is the most important thing he said. This is not a 5-game series. You can't waste your bullets when you talk about who's going out there for you to start the game. You've got to make sure your guy gives you the best chance of winning the game that day. And right now, Shota Imanaga does not fall into that category.
I'm old enough to remember when teams would use a starting pitcher twice and on 3 days rest, because that was something they had to do if they wanted to have a chance to win a game.
Yeah, I remember that as well. And, I mean, I hear you, man. I mean, he's been struggling. I just think it would be it's wild to me to think that he one of your starting five pitchers all year, one of your top starting pitchers up until he wasn't, would not get a shot at starting in one of these playoff games.
Hey, man, what have you done for me lately? And it's not just like if it had been like one bad start or two bad starts. I'm sorry, 9 straight games of giving up at least one home run, more home runs given up than anybody else since the All-Star break.
Yeah, but what about Boyd? I mean, just one game Boyd saves least, him? That one game against the
he's
Mets?
He's had more good starts peppered in than Shota Imanaga
has. He's
been
pretty poor, though.
Yeah, no. Over his last 11 starts, his ERA is over 5.
It's pretty bad.
Difference is
that, do you want that in the playoffs?
I want, yes, I trust him more than I trust Shota Imanaga.
Okay, I mean, at some point in time, even the bad play has to be trusted.
815 clarified and said Shota got rocked by the White Sox. That's what that question meant. That made a little more sense. He was tipping his pitches, I think. Like, that was pretty much the big discussion, was everybody thought he was tipping his pitches at the time.
That came up last night. You are spot on, and they even referenced the White Sox game.
Yeah, sorry. I thought it was funny at first, and then I realized there was a clarification there. Thank you for doing so, team. That's how we come together.
We're a team. We came together.
But also, it's a valid data point in what we've seen recently. You know, that was something that also, once you do it once, you know, you have to worry about having that happen again. So I feel like that's also something to bring up that makes it make sense. Coming up next here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, another aspect of this Mets game and Cubs game that we probably would be talking about a lot more, say, if the difference had been either one run or if the Cubs maybe had won, or if the margins were smaller, we'd probably be talking about one of these that's baseball moments. We're still trying to figure out what happened last night. And it was valid. So we'll break it down. We weren't the only ones. We'll listen to who else was confused by it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Raheem Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
1-2. Popped up left side. Shaw and Swanson. And Dansby calls off Shaw. And then retreating to the plate.
Baby.
And they're going to say that Swanson fell out of play.
And Craig Counts is going to argue he got rid of the baseball before he fell out of play.
Nicely done, Robbie. Good call on the music. That's Robbie Triano, Bob Tree on the ones and twos. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And that I chalk up to a moment that I can only describe as, quote, that's baseball, end quote. It was a very baseball moment where in the first inning of the Cubs 8-5 loss last night, we're all trying to figure out whether or not Dansby Swanson caught an out in foul territory. This is how it is described in the summary on MLB.com. Pop out. All of that for pop out. Cubs challenged, parentheses, stadium boundary call, close parentheses, call on the field was upheld. Mark Vientos pops out to shortstop Dansby Swanson in foul territory. Francisco Lindor scores. Pete Alonso to third. 2 outs. Scene. Except that's not what happened at all. Like, when you're watching the game, Dansby makes this incredible catch, runs over to the third base side of the field, falls over the boundary, yes, over the
through the net.
Over the what would you call that? Just the bench, you know,
railing?
I call it like the stadium, the concrete boundary of Wrigley with the bricks and then the concrete on the top. It really is convenient to sit on if you're a reporter. I've done it many times, so that's why I call it a bench. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
The brick and concrete perimeter at Wrigley. He falls over it, he makes this incredible catch, falls into the net, and then the net gives a lot, as we know. And frankly, this is something that was new because there were so many ballparks where perhaps the net didn't extend that far. You know, that was a big discussion prior to 2020. And then teams just did it and everybody's ultimately fine with it. And we've all lived and people are safer. Amazing how that worked. But in this case, you're asking yourself, okay, well, where does the stadium end and the net begins? But then it looked like it should have just been a catch in and out. But then it became a challenge. How did you guys feel when you were watching this?
I thought it was an ending double play. So I was very like, okay, Schoedter, you got out of this. You can give up your solo home run later. But then once the realization hit, I was like, oh, this is going to be a bad omen for this entire game. That's how I felt. This has just set the tone for this entire contest.
Right, like Cubby Occurrence came to mind for me too. Just when something looks so good, it goes so wrong. It's this great play. Actually, I don't know how great of a play, because a little bit of miscommunication between Matt Shaw and Dansby Swanson going for the ball. Luckily, Shaw gets knocked down on the play. So I was actually...
But he got up again.
He did get up again. Yes, he did. So I was also, like Marshall, I was like, okay, everybody okay? Everybody okay? You made the play. I don't know if I need Swanson, your best defender, going into the net like that.
Risking himself.
Yes. And then it just became like the runner at the plate, he's a dead duck. But then the rules come out. And I do have the, because it's fun to read baseball rules.
As long as it's one at a time. Don't try to read them all in a row.
Oh, no. I won't. It's and this is MLB rule 5.06, parentheses B, parentheses C, parentheses C, comments. If a fielder, having made a legal catch, should step or fall into any out-of-play area, the ball is dead, and each runner shall advance one base without the liability. I love the words. Without the liability of being put out, so the base runner at the plate is safe. And there you go. Your first inning consequence.
The legalese of it all.
No. It was so much ado. It was one of those just baseball things. And you're right. It was a very Cubby Occurrence. But it was the fact that what you brought up, Marshall, this resulted in scores for the Mets.
Yeah.
Like, let's map this out. And these are all very big ifs. And I know I'm going to a weird place and I'm making excuses. But number one, like we said, if Drew Pomeranz comes in a batter earlier, is it two runs off the record of Shota Imanaga? You know, knowing Pomeranz's consistency, perhaps. And then if this is called differently, you're talking about inning over, and then you're also taking two other runs off of the board. And then what? You're at a 6-5 ball game, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, you're tied at 5 at that point in theory if that happens.
Well, no, if you take both those things off the board,
5-4.
Yeah, you have a 5-4 Cubs lead, because you know, say out here powering people. You know, the power just came back.
He's
on
awesome.
Layla.
Say is
the
awesome.
Power outage
He's
is over,
best.
Layla.
But bat him third in the
poor
playoffs.
Say it, Suzuki.
That's
poor say
us.
Like, here we are. Right, here we are us. Calling him out. And then what does he do? He just comes through with two home runs. And we're like, wait, what?
Amen. By the way, thank you guys for doing this topic. I'd really appreciate it.
No, are you kidding? We're not done.
I know.
Do you know what I thought of whenever I saw Dansby run into the net? Number one, I was laughing because I was like, Derek Jeter. You know how you know how everybody takes a shot and they yell Kobe. I'm like, if you're him in that moment, are you like Derek Jeter?
Signature, because he's the signature shortstop. That's
there's
it. Yeah.
There's another part of it too, is that he loves to cover ground. Like, if there's one thing we've realized, this is Raheemy Harrison Grody talking about the play in the first inning that was calamitous and unfortunately resulted in two Mets runs for the Cubs.
Calamitous is a great description.
Where Dansby's trying to do his best, but like, if there's one thing you've learned, right, in talking to Ian Happ and talking to Pete Crow Armstrong, Matt Shaw, you got to know your personnel. And when you talk about the communication aspect of this, I think we know Dansby wants to cover as much ground as possible. Like, he's a running back out there. He's going to cover as half the field. So if you know that, I think that has to come into play whenever you're in these moments.
It's great because the Cubs technically have, you know, two free safeties out there, and Pete Crow Armstrong and Dansby Swanson. That's a lot of ground you're covering up the middle.
Right. And Shaw's just like, I want to be part of this. No, get out of here.
Don't get run over, Mr. Shaw. Don't get run over.
Sit down.
Also, keep hitting in the nine hole. And I mean, by hitting, I don't mean just being in the nine hole where you hit, but actually hit the ball like you did the other night where you got three hits.
Really I also want to remind you, you're listening to a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday, presented by your local Ford dealers and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We are going to talk football at the top of the hour at 11 with Adam Hoge, so that'll be a lot of fun. He's, of course, with the Hoge and Johns podcast on CHGO. But yeah, you're right, Marshall. Once I did the math, once you did the math for me, as I'm just reading it, I'm like, oh no, 8 minus 4 is 4. And that's half of the Mets' runs that changed this ball game in ways that you didn't think.
They took on a team that was desperate. They lost 2 out of 3, which is not the optimal return, and things got a little funky in that last game. But overall, you know, things could be worse. I you know what else I keep replaying in my head? When we were getting that news about Cade Horton and the understanding that, hey, he has a back injury, oh, things aren't looking good. And then when we found out what the actual news was, I was like, okay, that could have been a lot worse. That could have been a lot worse. I want to remind guys that the Cubs start a series this afternoon against a team they know quite well, the Cardinals. That's at Wrigley Field. We've got pregame coverage coming up at 12:45. The first pitch is at 1:20 on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network, the final regular season Friday afternoon game at Wrigley. I'm trying to talk Layla into going.
Yeah, I want to go. I just didn't ask anybody for tickets. And also, you're not going.
Oh, no, I'll be at home, comfortably on my couch.
So I thought. Oh,
so you just want me to go.
That's really
I want
weird.
You to live your best life.
The last Friday at 1:20 is sacred to me. It's just a thing.
And like, that's why she should go. Nice.
Well, I thought you wanted to go because your guy Colin Ray is pitching. He's your favorite pitcher.
Oh, I see what you're doing right now.
Where are you setting the under over-under on strikeouts today? Eight probably for Colin Ray?
Today is more
five.
Of a...
We hit 11.
Hey, by the way, somebody owes me because I said Shohei Imanaga was going to give up 2 home runs.
I said that too. Only five. One of us said he was not.
Like I said, I'm hitting about 211 this year on my Cubs predictions.
We just got to get you betting more on more Bears games.
And less $40 bets, yes. Too, on Bears.
Like dollar bets $5, $1.
I know. I just really thought I was onto something that day when the Bears were only down 14-7 to the Lions. Why not put $40 on the money line and lose $40?
I'll take the blame for that. I talked you into it. I just didn't know you're
1-800-GAMBLERS.
I never want to hear you say again about the 52-21 loss. I really thought the Bears were on to something. At 14-7.
It felt good. I was like, I'm getting in on this on the ground floor. Bears, baby.
I want to make sure they know that it is 1-800-GAMBLER. No S. I just want to make sure somebody needs help out there.
Okay, Marshall. And I picked the Bears publicly to lose the game, but so that was just... I knew they were going to lose.
Sometimes you got to run the odds.
Something felt weird, and then it got really weird.
Business lesson for us all. Don't let your money get mad. Don't let it get hopeful either.
And don't take my gambling advice. Take it from Joe O, who will be with us later today.
Yeah, he's at 11:25, and Adam Hoge, like we said, is next. Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.